بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala for allowing us to be here. We're going to be continuing our session on the Shama'il, which are the exquisite characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask Allah for ourselves, that Allah Ta'ala allow us to practice these and implement them and increase our mahabba, our love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so what we want to remind everyone again is that when we're here, we make niyyah to practice. And if we don't have it, we say, Ya Allah, please forgive me for not having it and give me the tawfiq to get it. Okay? Understand that any single sunnah comes in a community, the community will be changed. This is the reality of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He was able to transform the entire world. You think about where the Prophet ﷺ was, where you and I were, in terms of miles and distance. And look how he's affected us by both time and space. So understand that's the impact of sunnah. Okay? So that's why, mashallah, the last hadith we went over was a man who had the yellow colored perfume on him. He came to the Prophet ﷺ, and we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ didn't address him with anything that the person would dislike. In other words, he knew, the Prophet ﷺ knew it was wrong, but he didn't say anything against him, because the person wouldn't be ready for it. Okay, and so we have to remember that sometimes we're in a certain status in our families, in our communities, and when you say something, it has a very big impact on people. And sometimes when we say something, a person will get offended. If this person became offended with the Prophet ﷺ, that would be kufr, that would be disbelief, and no one's allowed to do that. So to be very careful when we try to advise someone about music, about gatherings, about this and that, be very careful, because sometimes we'll make them, you know, dig their heels in. They'll become even more strong. They'll be like, no, it's definitely halal. You know? So when you talk about riba, for example, when you talk about interest and, you know, usury, whatever, you talk about it with the person and then they'll become so offended, they'll say, no, it's halal. And then you actually made them do kufr when you're trying to save them from a sin. So this is what the Prophet is teaching us. It's not saying though that it's not wrong, because at the end of the hadith, as you notice, the Prophet ﷺ said, it would have been better if one of you guys said it. You know, because you guys are on the same level, the same daraja. Sometimes a friend will be able to say something that a Mawlana will never be able to say. Sometimes the teacher will say it will come off so harsh, but when a classmate says it, it's much easier for the person to accept. So we have to understand all these different levels. And that's why when you hear the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which says that, you know, whoever sees an evil should change it with his tongue, it's a lot of work. It's not easy to construct a message. You have to be very, very sensitive with your words, because one thing you could say could offend the person and they'll go straight off. Okay? That was the last hadith we went over. And now we're going to go to the general hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha narrates it. It says, An Aisha radiallahu anha, it's hadith number 4, I think, on your page. Annaha qalat, Lam yakun Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fahishan, wala mutafahishan, wala sahaban. The Prophet ﷺ never used to talk indecently, nor did he engage himself in the use of obscene talk. So what happens is you can be fahish and mutafahish. They're two different words in Arabic. Fahish, obviously everyone knows fahsha, when you're talking very, not the nicest language, right? When we are speaking any language we're speaking, whether it be Urdu, Bangla, English, whatever, we should try our best to use the most sophisticated language, the nicest language. Not like the cruddy, crummy language that we might know of, and like, you could use the better word, right? And that happens. And I don't want to talk about any bashas here, because that's not what we're about, right? But the point is that basha is the Arabic, the Bangla word for dialect, right? So there are certain dialects which just don't come off as nice. So that's not the Prophet ﷺ never was like that. He'd always use the choicest and nicest words. He'd always speak about nice things, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wala mutafahisha, and he wouldn't pretend. Sometimes you're in a gathering of people who are talking bad. So like, you know, I got a bad story too. These people talking about dirty things, oh, they gotta know I'm like the garbage man. You know, I have all the dirty stuff. And so that's what we feel, because we want to be in the crowd. The Prophet ﷺ, he would never lower himself to people. He would speak on his level in that regard. Okay? Well, that's sahaban fil aswaq. And the Prophet ﷺ was never shouting in the markets. The Prophet ﷺ never used to scream. He never used to shout. Again, this is with his normal speech. Right? And of course, when a person speaking in the markets, It's not obviously not American markets, because none of us are talking there anyways, right? Because you can't haggle or bargain with anything. But when you're back at home, how loud are the markets? So this is it's a bad characteristic for that person to have that. And so the Prophet ﷺ was very far from those things. And then here's the most amazing part about the Prophet ﷺ from this hadith. وَلَا يَجْزِي بِالسَّيَّةِ السَّيَّةَ. He never would avenge a bad deed with a bad one. If the Prophet ﷺ was wronged, if he was done some type of harm or some type of evil, the Prophet ﷺ would not say, alright, I have to catch this person with the evil as well. What we try to do is we try to get vengeance. As much as we can, we're always trying to look to get even. If this person did it to me, I'm going to do it to them. If they didn't invite me to their da'wat, forget about it. They're not coming to my da'wat. Right, so we're always taking their same level. Okay, the Prophet's sunnah is to never avenge for himself. Never to avenge for himself. You're asking for a sunnah of the Prophet, he never would ever, if there was something personal involved, the Prophet would never take it. Because you don't want to follow your nafs. If you follow your nafs, that's the first step towards going towards Jahannam. Because the nafs wants you to do it. Eventually you'll be what? You follow yourself for this thing, and then when Allah tells you something to do, you're like, you know, I don't really need to do it. And then you start to follow it there, and then eventually you turn haram into halal, halal into haram, then the gate of Jahannam is right there. Allah to protect us from that. But the Prophet ﷺ would never do that. What did the Prophet ﷺ used to do? If someone used to wrong him ﷺ in conversation, because again, it's all about speech. Someone said something bad to him ﷺ. And you and I know very famously, when the Arabi used to call, when the Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ and pulled at his Mubarak Chadr, and then it left a mark on the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ just smiled at him. You know? And the Sahaba were getting upset, and the Prophet ﷺ calmed them down. He said, you know, you can be a bit nicer when you pull. You know, like you don't have to pull so hard. Alayhi salatu wasalam, you know? When an Arabi, a Bedouin, called the Prophet, he's like, hey Muhammad, ya Muhammad. You can't call the Prophet by the name like that. And the Prophet responded to him, how? Ha umu, yeah, I'm here. He just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't stoop to someone's level. This is the thing about us. Unfortunately speaking, we like to get even because we want to get dirty. We want to go into their level. If they did it to me, I should do it too. But that's not the way of noble people. Of honorable people is this part. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُ. He would forgive it from his inside. Okay? What do and وَيَصْفَحُ. And he would not ever mention it afterwards. So forgiving it is internal. Not mentioning it afterwards is external. ظَاهِرًا and بَاطِنًا. The Prophet will forgive the person. What does that mean? What we do is, we'd say we forgive the person, but inside the heart it's still there. How long does it stay in our hearts? 10, 15 years of I'm upset, this person did not invite me to the da'wat of their daughter, I'm not letting it go till I go to my qabr. This is how long it lasts for many of us. Allah protect us. And I'm the first one, we should learn this, that internally we need to let it go. Afu means that you wipe the slate clean. If you're talking about a book and has marks on it, you're going to erase everything on the page. It's no longer even there. Yasfahu safha means to turn the page and pretend like it never existed. The Prophet ﷺ would never mention anyone's faults, ever, ever in front of them. He would never even mention it anymore. We want to remember these things. Because sometimes we end up saying something to a brother and accuse them, and talk to them, and mention it in front of them. It's not going to make anyone feel any happier. You're not making the situation any better. What's the best thing you can do? Forgive and forget. And then what do you find? That person's heart will come close to yours. And when their heart comes close to yours, their person will be on deen, inshallah. But if you're doing it for yourself, if everything's nafsani, then forget about it. Angry, make everyone angry, get everyone upset, tell them to get out of the masjid, it's my masjid anyways, right? And then we'll see what Allah does, okay? You know, you can be Badshah, you can be Fir'aun as much as you want, but at the day of judgment, Allah will make it clear, right? Allah protect us from that, inshallah. Okay, the next hadith is what? An Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, qala Rasulullah, ma dharaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam biyadihi qattu. The Prophet did not hit anyone with his hands. Besides the time, and this is why, by the way, you read hadith with the teacher, sometimes you read this like, aha, it says he didn't hit anyone with his hands. That means he must hit people with his feet. Nah, I got you. No. That's not what the hadith is saying. You don't know how to read the hadith. The Prophet says, the way they're speaking is that obviously, most of the time, you're going to hit people with your hands, right? And so they're like, he doesn't hit anyone with his hands, meaning he doesn't hit anyone at all. Okay, that's the expression. Not, the feet are jais now. You know, I always wanted to kick her anyway. You know, like, Allah to protect us. The Prophet ﷺ would never hit anyone with his hands besides the time when he fought in the path of Allah. He never hit a servant nor a woman. And this is a reminder for myself and for everyone. You know, all these cases of domestic violence, all this abuse at home, there's nothing close to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Nothing close to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You're not anything near anyone deen says. Okay? If you're using one ayah to justify what you're doing, go ask a mufti if it's okay, first and foremost. Don't look at the Quran and say, I think it's okay. Be very careful. And we want to make dua to Allah that if we know anyone like that, Allah give them afia and protect them. The sisters and the brothers, really, it's a terrible situation. But know that the Messenger of Allah would never even lay his hand on someone who was weaker than him. A woman at home, defenseless, a prisoner in someone else's house, and some man thinks he can touch her afterwards? And you don't know who her father was or her brother was. If they were there, what would they do to you that you touched this woman like that? Allah protect us. But these are the teachings of Islam. This is why our Islam is so high, mashallah. The next hadith says, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن ما قالت ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انتصر من ظلمة ظلمها قط. Aisha رضي الله عنها said, I have never seen Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم avenge himself for when he was wronged. She is the wife at home. If anyone had a comment to make about vengeance, about kalam, about speech at home, Aisha رضي الله عنها would be able to note it and say it. But she's like, I never even heard him even mention it. Never even once it came out of his mouth that someone did me wrong. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was. He just let things go. Because who's in control again? This is proper tawheed. Allah Ta'ala is in control. If anyone did something wrong against you, know that maybe it's from your guna. Maybe it's because of a sin I did. Maybe it's because I didn't pray my ishraq. I always mention that incident, Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. When Fudayl rahimahullah came home one day, from the masjid after Fajr, he came home, he said, when I got home, my wife was yelling at me, my children were yelling at me, even my donkey wasn't listening to me. So I made fikr and tabdabbur. I thought about it. What did I do wrong? And he realized, he told himself, oh, yeah, I forgot to pray my ishraq. So he went back to the masjid and prayed ishraq. Prayed his four rakats, came back home. He said, my wife loved me, my children loved me, even the donkey loved me. Because why? Because if you don't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't expect anyone to be happy with you. When you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your life will be in order. That's why always put ibadah first. So the Prophet says, look how much he put ibadah first. But if one violated anything from the prohibitions of Allah, then you would not find anyone who was more angry than the Prophet ﷺ. He left his anger for a certain place, a certain darajah. When people disobeyed Allah, that's when his anger came out. This is a very important teaching to children. That we get angry when a cup falls or breaks. So what does the child think? That I'm not allowed to make accidents. But he's a child. Or she's a child. She's going to break something eventually. It's just part of the routine. You come to my house in Lower Barron, we'll see how many walls are designed by the best painters in all of America and all of the world, mashallah. Because why? Because that's what children do. I'm not going to get upset because that's what a child does. I don't expect anything more from a child. It's not a robot, yeah? It's not a robot. So, but when they do haram, so you ask, you know, just, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you ask my daughter, 3 years old, what Christmas, you say the word Christmas in front of her. She goes, Christmas haram. I tell her, Halloween haram. But she says, but I like the lights. I'm like, okay, I can't do anything about that. You know, like, so she knows these things from a young age because that's what I have control over. What is haram is haram. What is halal is halal. And I will show my anger for those things. When you discipline a child like that, they know what's right and what's wrong. You can train them. You have the time now, mashallah. Don't wait till the terrible teens. You'll not get any control afterwards. Control them now. Whenever Rasulullah was given a choice between two things, he always chose that which was easier. People ask me, they're like, Mawlana, why are you so lazy? I'm like, no man, it's the sunnah. Like, I don't like to do things. You know, between dunya, you ask me like, what color should the walls be? I'm like, look, please, I don't really, let Sumaya paint it. You know, I don't want to think about these things because there's too much to think about. I'm not saying it's okay. You want to design your stuff, mashallah, go ahead. But choosing the easier option that leaves less stress on the mind, that's the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet says in terms of the dunya, if we were to talk about it, we'd all critique him, alayhi salatu wasalam, waliyazu billah. Because we're like, he's not living. He's not living. What kind of house is that? What kind of walls are those? What kind of bed is that? Alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how much against the sunnah we are. But know that the Prophet didn't care. He just didn't care. If it worked, it worked. If it filled the stomach, filled the stomach. If there's salt or not, who cares? Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him, alhamdulillah. You know, that's all he cared about, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the rats are even happy. You hear them right here, mashallah. Okay? They're making the sounds too. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would always do that as long as it didn't lead to any type of sin. Okay, so we want to remember, this hadith here is not talking about deen. In deen, the Prophet ﷺ would choose the harder things on himself. He would choose the tahajjud, and the ibadah, and the miswak, and all these things. When it came to dunya though, the Prophet ﷺ was very, very relaxed. Very, very relaxed. When you go to a da'wat, the worst, I don't know, it's not from me, but I can't understand people who complain at a da'wat. That bothers me so much. I can't tell you how much it bothers me. Like, you don't have any control over the food, yeah. Just eat what they give you, alhamdulillah. Okay? Oh, I'm never going to that person's house anymore. They only fed me eggs. Is what? Oh, there's no meat in the entire world. That's why they fed you eggs. You know, like, just alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Make shukr to Allah. Make shukr to Allah. You get reward. Maybe perhaps you make shukr, so Allah will give you nice food at home.
Because la in shakartum la zidannakum. If you make shukr, I'll increase you. Okay? And now the last one, inshallah, for today. An Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is, again, amazing hadith. Every single one of them. Okay? The Prophet, she says, An Aisha radiallahu anha. قالت استأذن رجل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده. A man asked permission to present himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while I was with him. Okay. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام بئس ابن العشير أو أخو العشيرة. بئس ابن العشيرة أو أخو العشيرة. What did the Prophet say? What a bad person this person is amongst his community. You, Shaykh, you just told me all these amazing things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he doesn't say something bad about people and all these things. Now what is he doing? Right, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now you have to understand this, there are limits to certain things, and certain things you have to keep in mind. Right? Especially for your family's sake. Okay, and this I stress this for husbands. Okay, you have to be very careful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one of the rights of the husband is that he knows. He knows who is on his bed and who is at his home with, and no one's in his home without his permission. Right? That he knows who his wife is, whose friends. What does that mean? He knows which friends his wife has. Okay, why is that important? Because you have to warn that there are certain sisters that are just not okay for your wife to listen to or talk to. Because what they will do, they'll cause facade in there, in your house, the same way they have facade in their own house. Okay, so I'll give you, like, for example, a woman who might have been divorced, or a woman who ended up, like, you know, she put her husband through court or whatever, right? And now your wife is best friends with that wife, ex-wife, right? Now she's taking advice from her. Now I ask you, a person who lost the game, what advice will you get from such a person? This person lost the game of marriage. And now your wife is listening to him, oh, that's a good point, that's a good point. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ, when he's telling these things, is warning his wife about this man here. Be very careful what he says. Be careful what he's doing. And you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to mention those small, up to that limit. You can say that this person's good or bad, or this person doesn't care about halal or haram. You can mention certain things, that person remains safe. But nothing more than that. If you just say any word more than that, you've committed a haram. Enough to just warn someone. And so what I do, I'm very, very strict. I'm very strict, because I don't want any issues in my home. I want when I go home, it's a Jannah. And outside people can yell at me. I'm the second wife to every single Musalli here, because they get to yell at me, no problem. When I get back home, I'm the man. I want to be the husband at home. I just want everything to be Jannah at home. Really, I do. So I can't have some woman who screamed at my wife like thinking, oh, he didn't talk about finances with you. Oh, he didn't talk about this with you. Oh, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? You know, you don't have any money saved up? Oh man, if he takes you to court, if you get divorced, what are you going to do? Now my wife is thinking about if she gets divorced. Why is she even worried about her getting divorced? What I even mentioned. So you have to be very, very careful. Especially Shaitan, if he can't get through you, the door of the husband, he's going to get through the door of the wife. So be very careful. So the Prophet ﷺ warns Aisha radiallahu anha about this. After saying this, the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission to enter. After the person entered, أَلَانَ لَهُ الْقَوْلِ The Prophet ﷺ spoke so softly to him. When the person, فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ When he left, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قُلْتَ مَا قُلْتَ You said what you said. ثُمَّ لَنْتَ لَهُ الْقَوْلِ Then you were soft in speech to him. I thought at least you would be angry at him. You said what you said when he entered. Before he entered, and now you spoke so softly to him. Rasulullah said, Oh Aisha, the worst person is that who people stop speaking to out of fear of their indecency, out of fear of their harm. Okay? So the Prophet mentioned something very deep to Aisha, just very quickly. Just the Prophet first said, Oh Aisha, I can't leave who I am. Okay? I can't leave who I am. If I'm a soft person, I'm a soft person. If I'm a nice person, I'm a nice person. Even to people who are evil, by you being nice to them, you can stop them from being evil. So the Prophet ﷺ says, look, the worst of people is that people leave them or keep away from them because of their evil. And we should remember this. Sometimes our tongues are so bad, people don't want to invite us. People don't want to be near us. And that's not a good quality to have. The Prophet ﷺ said that the worst person on the Day of Judgment will be that the person whose people didn't want to be near that person because their tongue was so bad. So the Prophet ﷺ said, look, I wanted to save that person from that. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He spoke to them nicely. Because perhaps if the Prophet ﷺ speaks nicely to him, he'll be nice to people outside. And if he's nice to people outside, then people want him around. So the Prophet ﷺ thought to change this person by talking to him in a nice way. Because you don't know one nice word you said to the person has changed them for a lifetime. So the Prophet ﷺ was always thinking about that. How can I change the person in front of me? So when people come to you that are bad, that you know they're not so great, talk to them in the nicest way ever. Make them the most special person like we talked about. Make them the most special person ever. And you'll see that change will happen inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah for tawfiq and guidance. Again, these are all beautiful snippets, and I apologize if any wife were to listen or anything like that. I'm only trying to advise these husbands here to make sure that you have a happy life, okay? If you want to be proper disciplined, listen tomorrow. We're going to get there, okay? Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Tomorrow will be a very interesting hadith. And I'll take a little bit shorter, I usually go through more hadith, but this chapter is just, it's an amazing chapter, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Allow us to practice these sunnahs and live a life pleasing to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, wa alayhi wa sallam, 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 wa sallam,